Kevin, what would you say the top priority for the organization is going into the off season?
Hi, welcome everybody.
Sorry.
Great to see you here today. Certainly I don't know if you can singly put one thing from a top priority standpoint. There's lots of priorities. I think you can lump them into multiple things. You know, certainly there's the business side of it. There's contracts that need to be done, but that's like that in every situation. I think, you know, obviously today it's a busy day on a lot of fronts. Went through, player exits, so there's certainly some things to digest in some of the conversations that we had there. I think, there'll be some coaches' conversations that, we've yet to have based on both sides meeting with the players and talking. Both sides, management and coaches. Lots of valuable information, I guess, that we get from those kind of conversations, and then, we go from there. Today we came to terms with Kyle Connor, and so that was a big thing that had been discussed and talked about. So again, a busy day on a lot of fronts.
What does it mean to bring Kyle in at this time?
Well, again, when we drafted him, we certainly understood that it was a decision of his to play college hockey and understand the commitments that do come with that and some of the things that are involved. And generally speaking, those are longer term commitments when it comes to a player making that decision. So from our standpoint, obviously we're real excited about the year he had. We're real proud to have him as part of our organization. From that standpoint, he certainly made a lot of certainly headlines, but improvements, leaps and bounds, in his game, both on the ice and off the ice, from a maturity standpoint, and obviously from a play standpoint, that spoke for itself. What it means moving forward, certainly again, it's another player now that, you add into the mix from a standpoint of taking those next steps as organizations when you have a quality young player like that has decided to turn pro.
Where do things stand with your goalies? I know the last couple of years you've given Andre a vote of confidence as your clear-cut number one guy here. Is that changing at all?
Well, Andre certainly finished the season as our number one goalie. I think down the stretch here, you saw the numbers that he put up, certainly from a games perspective and wins perspective from the standpoint of the end of the season here. I think as an organization, we've worked extremely hard to try to increase the competition and increase the depth at that position. And I think from for us, I think it's an exciting part of it to have a player like Connor Hellebuck that can come to training camp and can push. So there's going to be a lot of competition in that that position, and ending the season here right now is one thing, but we've got a lot of work ahead of us and certainly looking forward to training camp.
Just curious, the way Kyle announced the signing on Twitter, was that planned or did that take you guys a bit by surprise? Or?
No, so again, the chronology of how things have played out a little bit. So we knew that he was going in today to meet with his coach, and we knew that the decision was going to be coming down with respect to him making it with his family. And again, as far as the actual timing of it, we knew we were going to be busy here with exits, and it was going to be a little bit of an uncertain timing of when he was actually going to meet with his coach. But we knew today was the day that something was going to pop.
And his deal, does it max out all the options, or how would you describe it that way compared to some other first year guys?
No, so essentially his deal is if you really dig into the deep side of it, it's almost essentially identical to Trouba's deal. With respect to the different bonuses, obviously one's a forward, one's a defenseman, so there'll be different categories that the defensemen get the bonuses for versus the forwards, but it's essentially the same type of deal as Jacobs was. And when you're taking a player out of college, there's certainly some incentives that go along the way, but they're bonuses that have to be earned for different performance levels.
And a bigger picture one for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
A lot of people would see 5 years as a reasonable time to build, maybe not a Stanley Cup winner, but a playoff contender anyway. You're coming off the worst point total here of your 5 years here. why should fans continue to have confidence in your plan?
Well, I think that our plan from the onset was going to be a plan that was going to draft players into an organization and help them develop along the way. I think the team that we inherited coming here from Atlanta to Winnipeg was one that wasn't a playoff team from our standpoint. If you look at what we have accomplished, from the plan standpoint, is our very first draft pick, is Mark Scheifele, and a player who, again, we chose for reasons that, again, from a development standpoint, we sent him back after year one, we sent him back after year two, and again, there was a lot of people, lots of conversations at different points in time, and saying, well, again, why are you sending him back? And Tim and I were actually at a game together one time I was in Ontario there watching him play right at the end of his one season there. And, it's kind of like you made those decisions. Well, that's all part of the plan. The plan was that we were going to develop the young players that we drafted and we're going to move them forward when the time was right. Now you're seeing Mark Scheifele, who's at the end of his entry-level deal along with Jacob Trouba, but these guys take time to develop. So we haven't changed our thought process. We haven't deviated, from that plan. From, the young guys that came into the organization, we've tried to nurture them and try to develop them. But, from day one, you're starting to see now the fruits of some of those players that we drafted. And a lot of those players, again, when you talk about drafting, they take time to develop. And so 5 years in may seem obviously like a long period of time, when it comes to that. But if you look at systematically who, players that we've chosen to move off of at different points in time and players that we've chosen or been able to sign at different points in time, it's building that group, building that core together. And, right from that first draft pick, our second pick that year, we didn't have a second pick. The second pick of the organization was Adam Lowry. So, again, those are the type of things that are continuing to work down that path.
Maybe just a quick clarification. Some fans have told me that, well, your hands are tied by budgetary constraints. Can you clarify, were you told how little you should spend on players this year, or is that your call?
Well, again, when you're making these decisions based on long-term situations, long-term uncertainties, some of the decisions that you make are that you're going to make sure that you're not going to put yourself into a cap situation where you have to get rid of some young guys because, you're locked into some contracts that don't fit anymore. They may seem right at the time. You see a lot of July 1st contracts that are, certainly the signings that are in vogue. They make the headlines. They maybe make people all excited. But then when you sit back and you look and say, well, how is this going to affect me 2, 3, 4 years from now when I have to pay some of these young guys if they hit the performance that we hope that they're going to? So from that standpoint, we make conscious decisions that, you have to project not only for, the contracts that come in 1 year, but in 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. We have to put in, where we think some of these guys' contracts may come in. You have to project. And in order to, keep, the players that are not even entering into their prime, but starting to enter into their prime into years beyond their prime, you have to have that salary cap space. So we make those decisions as an organization. It's not necessarily a dollar set figure to say you must only spend this. But, the other side of it is if you're going to spend money, you have to understand why and what the short, long-term, and medium-term ramifications are going to be, of that money spent. So if you just, sit back and look at where we're at right now from a dollar figure, you say, well, yeah, you got lots of space, you got lots of room. There's lots of teams in this league that don't. There's lots of teams in this league that are going to have to retool a little bit or rethink or, do some things to maybe shed some salary, which in this environment is not an easy thing to do. There's teams that have to sign some young players that might be in situations that they can't. Well, we can. We've got the space. We've got the availability. We'll sit down with the different agents, obviously, that we have to deal with our own players. And, we know we have the flexibility to whether we want to go short-term contracts on bridge deals or flexibility if we want to go long-term contracts, if they make sense. But if you make some decisions along the way that handcuff you with players that, don't fit after a year or two, then you're in deep trouble. Did I answer your question?
I think so.
Okay.
Kevin, just going back to the goalies, is Jamie Phillips a guy that's under consideration still for a contract?
So certainly Jamie's season as a, he's gone through his, he's a senior when it comes to the college program. So he's eligible to be signed. We've talked with his group. You know, at this point in time, we really haven't made a certain decision yet, you know, with respect to whether we're going to get him signed or not, but there has been some discussions.
Kevin, could you talk a little bit about your concern, if what level your concern would be at with your concerning your young players? Your team had a losing record here this year. The Moose had a real struggle and wound up with a losing record. Are you concerned at all, I guess, about these young players being so exposed to a losing environment?
Well, I would be if they, you know, if the environment within the environment was one of acceptance. I think, you know, I can talk about the two situations differently here. Certainly with the Moose, we said right from the beginning that, you know, this incarnation or reincarnation of the Moose was going to be a little bit different than what, you know, the old Moose, you know, was and became known to. We turned 9 guys pro last year at, and, you know, various different levels of guys playing, some playing in the National League, the majority of them playing at the American League level. You sign these players to generally speaking, 3-year entry-level contracts, and you get 3 years to make decisions on these players. These are players that you drafted. You know, these are players that, again, as an organization, you need to make decisions on after a year, after 2 years, but certainly after 3 years for multiple reasons. One, do you offer them contracts? You know, are they taking the next steps to be National League players? But more importantly is that they need to be exposed to waivers, essentially, after, you know, that period of time. So what we don't want to have as an organization that is trying to develop young players is not get an understanding of them until they're in their third year. You need to understand where those players are at from year one. You need to have them struggle at different points in time. Give them opportunities to spread their wings. Most of these players, in some way, shape, or form, were top-end juniors or top-end college players or, you know, elite players that were goal scorers or different things. But then when they get into pro, you know, their roles become more defined. What's going to make them a National Hockey League player? That's where you start to, you know, get to the development side of it. And, you know, the drafting side of it is one thing. Now it's the development side. So when you put those players in and you say, like, we really think this guy is going to be an offensive player at some point in time in the National Hockey League. But if I play him on the fourth line because I've got all these different veteran players that help me win at the American League level right now, then how am I going to know if he's ever going to be an offensive player if I don't give him those chances? So we consciously said we're going to give those guys chances. You know, again, I hate to say it's never about winning or losing at the American League, because certainly it is about that, but it's about winning the right way and about having those guys, you know, appreciate it. Watching that game, you know, the other night or yesterday, you know, you go down 2 goals and you think 10's going to be folded, and they come back. They go down 2 goals again, you think, well, okay, now this time, you know, it's really going to get folded. But they battled back, and to see, you know, Brendan Lemieux score that goal that he scores, to see, you know, Chase DeLeo score those goals, like, that's what the growth of young guys are at. From the NHL standpoint, you know, we, you know, again, we talked about, you know, giving opportunities to young players that we felt were ready to, you know, to take those steps. And, you know, Nikolaj Ehlers is certainly a guy that, you know, came in at the beginning of this season, was playing third line minutes, you know, at different points in time, move up and down the lineup. But I certainly look at where he finished, you know, at the end with, you know, how he was playing, who he was playing with. But more so, even more so, is when the guys go to Paul Maurice and say, I want to play with, you know, with Nikolaj. I want, you know, give me the opportunity to play with a young guy like him. Those are the kind of things that internally, you know, you start to get excited about, because from where he's come to where he's at, you know, now certainly the hardest part is where does he go to from there? And that's the same with all young players. And, you know, we talked about, you know, different things, and we say, you know, we're going young. Well, the year that we made the opportunity for, you know, for Mark Scheifele and Jacob Trouba to play, you know, again, we infused some youth into the lineup. You know, the next year we give an opportunity to an Adam Lowry and a Michael Hutchison to play. There's 2 young guys that go into the lineup. That's not different than a lot of other organizations. But, you know, from our standpoint, you know, these are the players that, you know, again, we've drafted, we've developed, we've, you know, are giving them opportunities to grow. And, you know, that's an important thing. So certainly can't sit here today and tell you I'm happy that we're, you know, we're addressing you here, you know, not after the first round and those things, because, again, making the playoffs last year was important for this group and continues to always be important. But we're a step closer to where we need to be now today than we were at the beginning of the season. And that may sound like a weird thing, but we are, because again, you know, we've integrated some guys that are going to be big parts of this program moving forward.
Did you feel this should have been a playoff team this year?
You know what? It's you can sit here and say should have, would have, could have, but you got to play the games, and that's why you play them. Last year, standing here, I guess it would be, you know, not at the beginning of this training camp, but the training camp before. You know, you don't sit there and say, well, this should be a playoff team. You got to play the 82 games, and you have to earn it. We didn't earn the right to be a playoff team this year. That's plain and simple. You can't deny that fact. But what you also can't deny is that, you know, there has been positive steps that have been taken in this organization. You know, you see a player, you know, you saw a lot of guys have, you know, some career years. You see, you know, a player like Dustin Byfuglien make a commitment to, you know, what, you know, he sees what's going on internally. He lives it each and every day. He has an opportunity to go somewhere else and, you know, so-called greener pastures. But he decides to stay here because he likes what's going on. You know, so again, I think all those guys to a man, and I met with all of them today, they're disappointed. I met with, you know, talked with the coaches. We'll meet even more, you know, coming up here. We're all disappointed. But at the in the same token, again, there has been, you know, growth, and there has been, you know, steps that have been taken. So there is no team in this league that can look and say, you know, we you know, we're in the playoffs until you play those 82 games and you earn that right.
Paul talked about next year and the potential, because you've got a lot of, like, Kyle coming in. You've got some great guys, and the team could get even younger. So he says whoever's good enough and wins a spot is going to get there. For sure. You, from what you saw this year, are you thinking maybe you need to go out and get a little bit more veteran talent, maybe to bridge the gap until those guys come along? What's your thought process like that, with that balance?
Well, you know, certainly we're going to, you know, we'll go through the necessary steps to evaluate who's out there. There's different methods and means that you can. There's obviously one is free agency, and, you know, that at this point in time is still really undefined and an undetermined market. I think, you know, going back to, you know, kind of dovetailing off of Paul's question, you know, some organizations are going to, you know, be strapped from the cap standpoint. Is there opportunities to take advantages of that? We have two first-round picks. You know, again, how you choose to use, you know, one or both of them in different fashions, that all remains to be seen. There's lots of different things that could come into play there. And again, internally, you know, you saw some competition here with younger players that were given a chance, you know, to play because of injury and circumstance. But by no means is there, you know, anything guaranteed. And what, as an organization, what you're trying to do, and everyone talks, you know, it's interesting because you talk about, you know, the Detroit Red Wing model, or, you know, even the Chicago Blackhawk model now. But until those guys, you know, established a core, and until they started to establish the competition amongst the rest of the organization, you know, for a scarce number of jobs, you know, until you have that, like, you really don't have competition. And we can go and sign some guys, and if they do fit, like a Matty Perreault, we felt, you know, really fit the year that he was available. And, you know, he was, you know, in his 20s and was able to, you know, commit to him for a good contract and good term. If we can find some, you know, some Matty Perreaults out there, we're certainly going to look for that. But again, you know, the Kyle Connors of the world, now that adds to that competition. You know, we talked a lot, you know, with the guys, you know, in the room today, like the guys that were given 10, 15, you know, whatever number of games down the stretch here. It's like, you know, congratulations, you got some experience, and, you know, guess what? The competition now is just that much more heated up.
Do you get the feeling they realize that?
Well, if they can count, they certainly can, because I think that, you know, again, one thing that I can tell you for sure is that there's not one player that left the meetings today without an understanding of what Paul Maurice's expectations are for them, you know, moving forward, and what our organizational expectations are for them moving forward. You know, from a strength and conditioning standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, from a management standpoint, you know, the last thing that you ask each and every one of them, are we all clear? And you get, you know, you get the answers.
Just was interested in your thoughts on the current draft lottery model. What do you think of it?
You know, again, I think, you know, haven't given a heck of a lot of thought to it here until obviously we get all these things, you know, out of the way. I think, you know, again, you know, from our standpoint, anytime you can, you know, look at acquiring a top young player, you know, that's going to be an important piece. We'll have, you know, I've been actually bouncing around the country here the last couple of days. I, you know, was only on one game in the California trip and spent it a lot, you know, going out and watching a lot of junior players. And with the U18s in Grand Forks, I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to see, you know, some of the top end players close to home. So the lottery will play itself out. You know, again, I hope we get the luck, you know, in that regard, because I think, you know, as a franchise, you know, if you have a couple of those things break your way, it certainly can help expedite the process.
Kevin, there's some segment of your followers who see a deficiency in your coaching staff. Mainly it's pointed at your special teams performance this year. What's your view of that?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I have nothing but confidence and respect, you know, for the coaching staff that we have in place. I watch them, I talk to them on a daily basis. You know, I think from a player's standpoint, they're extremely prepared. The X's and O's standpoint are there. The communication standpoint is there. Special teams certainly have been a sore point, you know, at points in time last year, you know, not necessarily, you know, as much of a sore point. And certainly this year you look at and pinpoint, you know, individually, it's not where you need it to be. That's an aspect of why we finished where we finished, but it's not the only thing. But, you know, so certainly, again, that'll be part of our coaches, you know, meetings, you know, with management. It was part of our discussions with a lot of the players. And again, Paul meets with the players and management, we meet with the players. So, you know, again, it's not like, they don't feel comfortable saying, you know, different things. So, you know, again, we get a lot of input from a lot of different places, but certainly, you know, again, we're going to continue to, you know, discuss it and work on it. And again, on the ice, there has to be some execution as well. So, you know, you can plan, you can practice, you can diagram, you can video, but, you know, again, execution is all a part of it as well.
Kevin, how would you describe the season that Tucker Poolman had for you? I know obviously he's had an exciting conclusion, but any idea of what his future might be too?
Yeah, so Tucker, obviously, congratulations to him. Again, you know, a lot of people there, you know, Brad Berry, the coach, Matt Shaw was my assistant coach when I was with the Chicago Wolves. So it's great to see good people winning championships. You know, Tucker, again, is an interesting prospect for us. He's a player that is more mature, you know, when it comes from his, you know, from his age, from his experiences. He, you know, he was someone that chose to go back to the USHL and keep honing his craft because he felt that it was important, you know, right after our draft to go back. He won the Defenseman of the Year, I think, that year. Last year he played mostly as a forward at times. You know, and this year, you know, obviously he was a big part of them winning the championship. I just, you know, I remember the sequence of plays that he had in the Denver game there where, you know, he blocked some shots. Like, those are sacrifices that you need to make to win a championship. So, you know, we're proud of him. We're proud to have him as part of our organization. And, you know, at the appropriate point in time, we'll have, you know, different discussions with him. All good. Again, thanks very much, you know, for the year, everyone. And wish it was longer, and I hope to cut into all your summers for many, many more years to come. So take care.